the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you, to be worshipping with you on our Vision Sunday, so may I add my welcome to those you've already received. Vision Sundays are something we're not particularly used to having here at Belmont, but we wanted at the beginning of this new calendar year just to remind ourselves as a church of some of the key things that we think are absolutely vital in our faith. So we're going to be doing that this morning. But we'd also like just to share with you a few things that we as a leadership team feel that the Lord has been encouraging us to think about, to share with you for 2026. And hopefully this passage from Matthew chapter 15 will help us think about some of those things. So we're going to look at it in two parts. I'm going to look at the first three verses. And then a little bit later on, Steve's going to come when the children and young people are back with us and look at the feeding miracle proper. So this isn't working for some reason. I don't know why. Can you click me on? Thank you. There we go. So Matthew chapter 15 and verse 29, we meet Jesus. He's come from an area, I suppose it's sort of southern Lebanon in today's terms, and he's come down to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And this is what this area looks like. And I've never personally been to Israel, but I understand that this part of the Sea of Galilee is very hilly. A little bit like the English Lake District, if you've been there, sort of similar size of hills. And so we've got to imagine Jesus going at least partway up one of these and then sitting down. And as he does that, that's the sign that as a teacher, he's ready to start sharing with the people who are following him. And so these great crowds, we're told, come up to him, up a mountain. Okay? So I want to ask the question, first of all, why? Why are these people following Jesus up a mountain? And I guess there are lots of reasons why they might have done it, but I think there are maybe two words which encapsulate some of the reasons that they do it, and we believe these are two words that are important for us as a church in 2026. The first of the words is confidence. I'm sure that there were people who were going to hear Jesus and to experience his healing, who already knew who Jesus was. They'd already heard his teaching, they'd already seen his miracles, and they had confidence in who he was and what he was able to do. And I believe that's probably true, I know it's true, for many of us who are here this morning. We have met with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are confident that he is the Saviour of the world, the Son of God, the one who will save us from our sins and bring us into a right relationship with God. And that's something that we want to grow in this year as a church. Not confidence as a personality trait, because some of us are confident and some of us are less confident. It's not about that. It's about confidence in Christ and confidence in the gospel as the testimony to who he is. So confidence is one of our words that we want to focus on in 2026. The second word also begins with the letter C, and it's the word curiosity. Because I'm sure that because of the confidence of some of those who'd already encountered Jesus, many others were drawn along because they'd heard about this Jesus and about the things he'd done and the things that he said, and they wanted to find out more. And again, I'm fairly sure that we will have people here this morning who are curious about the Lord Jesus Christ, but haven't yet committed to him. You're so welcome to be with us this morning, whether you're in person or online. We love having curious people here. But we want to grow in our confidence so that we can provoke more curiosity as we get on and live our lives. And as we go up the mountain, as these people did in Matthew chapter 15, that may not always be easy. Mountains aren't easy things to walk up, are they? But you know what? Discipleship was never said by Jesus to be an easy thing. We have verses like this, for example, that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 13 when he said to his followers, look, you need to make every effort to enter through the narrow door that leads to life, because it's too easy to go in through the broad gate that leads to destruction. And we're not saved, if we are saved this morning, we're not saved so that we just put up our feet and bask in the joy of being saved. We're saved so that we can work for Christ and be his hands and his feet and his ears and his mouth in this world. And that's going to require some commitment on our part, isn't it, in 2026, just as it required commitment to follow Jesus up the mountain. It may not always be easy for us this year. But the really good news is that we don't ever do it alone. That's one of the beautiful things about being in a church family. We get to do this thing with other people. And we see that in the passage, don't we? I thought I'd throw that in for Steve. He's a Liverpool fan, for those of you who don't know Steve. And he also loves to sing. So just imagine Steve at this point in the sermon singing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." But it's true, we don't walk alone as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice what it said in verse 30? Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet. The people who weren't finding it easy to get up the mountain, others were helping them to get up to where Jesus was. We don't do these things alone. And so my question to all of us this morning and to myself is, who can we help find their way to Jesus in 2026? Who can we share the story with and live the life with? That's our strap line as a church, isn't it? Who can we be doing that with in 2026? And I do believe we need to have both of those things working together. It's absolutely vital that we live the life, that we show through our actions and the way we are with other people and the things that we're invested in, that Jesus Christ makes a difference to the way that we live. It's absolutely vital. Otherwise, people will not believe that the message of Jesus has any relevance to their lives. But it's absolutely vital, too, that we share the story. Because there's loads of people in the world who are doing good things. Loads of them. Some of them believe in Jesus, some of them don't. But good things don't save people. They don't save the people who are the beneficiaries of the good deeds, and they don't save the people who do the good deeds. If we want salvation, we need to look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and see that he died for our sins so that we could be put right with God as we come to him in faith. That is the story that we have to be sharing, because it's the distinctive that we have as a Christian family of believers. Who can we help to find those truths in 2026? Maybe there are some folk that you know who are curious. Maybe some of you who are curious would like to come to our Alpha course as we start it this term again, God willing, in a fortnight's time on the 27th of January. It's a wonderful opportunity to ask curious questions. So if you know anybody who you yourself would like to come along to Alpha, please just sign up for it out in the concourse as we're having tea and coffee afterwards. So these great crowds come to him, they're brought by other people, they come under their own steam as well, and he heals them. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is the great healer, isn't he? And I ask the question, is there anybody here this morning who doesn't need healing? Is there? I'd be amazed. It may not be physical healing that we need, because there are all kinds of different healing, aren't there? There's psychological healing, there's emotional healing, there's spiritual healing. But I think every single one of us needs to come to Jesus Christ this year to experience his healing in whatever form that it takes. And I'm struck by what Jesus said on the very first Resurrection Sunday, the very first Easter Sunday, when he appeared to his disciples as they were fearful behind locked doors, and he says to them, "Peace be with you. Now, he's a man brought up in a Jewish culture speaking to other Jewish men. And he says, peace be with you. He's saying, shalom, be with you. Wholeness, totality, integration, be part of your experience. Not, again, just so you can bask in the delight of being peaceful. Because he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them, these men and these women who were gathered in the upper room. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's so important too, isn't it? All the things we're talking about this morning, we can't do any of them unless God breathes his Holy Spirit into us and equips us to do the life, to lead the life and do the things that he's called us to do in his name. So we're praying for healing in all kinds of different ways in our church in 2026. And one of the things we'd love to see as a leadership team are stories of God's restoration, as we're able to share those stories of what God has done, those testimonies of how God's been at work in our lives. Maybe some of you this morning are struggling with some form of addiction, for example. It could be drink, it could be drugs, it could be pornography. It could be addiction to approval. It could be work. Maybe you need deliverance and healing from those things. Well, we believe that 2026 is a year when God wants to do that work in your life. And we would love to hear the stories of how God is working and bringing healing in the lives of the members of our family. So if you have a story or if you hear a story, please share it with us, because we'd love to find a way to share it more broadly within our church family so that we can give God the glory for the one who is active and living among us through his Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these people, when they see the healings that are going on, we're told that they were amazed when they saw the mute speaking and the crippled made well, and the lame walking and the blind seeing. Of course they were amazed. Who wouldn't be amazed to see such extraordinary things? But they're not just amazed, are they? And they praised the God of Israel. It's an indication, by the way, that we are in a predominantly Gentile area. Because if it had been a predominantly Jewish area, it would just have said, they praise God. But no, they praised the God of Israel, the God they had barely started to get to know. But they've seen his goodness, they've seen his power, and they praise his name. And that's our prayer for this year, for us as a church. We pray that as we have confidence in Christ as the source of all our blessings, and as we live that out, it provokes curiosity in those that we live and work among, and they will come and see how amazing our God is, and they will praise his holy name as we share the story and we live the life together in 2026. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good. Well, we're going to have the same reading that we already had, but I'm going to read this time from the International Children's Bible. Sounds like something from Thunderbirds to me, the International Children's Bible. So you might like to say FAB at the end if you agree with what we've got. That's good. This is the same reading from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 32, and it says this. Jesus called his followers to him and said, I feel sorry for these people. They have been with me for 3 days, and now they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry. They might faint while they're going home. His followers asked him, where can we get enough bread to feed all these people? We are far... we'll come to that. Very good. We are far away from any town. And Jesus answered, how many loaves of bread do you have? They answered, we have 7 loaves and a few small fish. Jesus told the people to sit on the ground. He took the 7 loaves of bread and the fish, and he gave thanks to God for the food. Then Jesus divided the food and gave it to his followers. They gave the food to the people. All the people ate and were satisfied. And after this, the followers filled 7 baskets with the pieces of food that were not eaten. There were about 4,000 men who ate, besides women and children. And after they'd eaten, Jesus told the people to go home. He got into the boat and went to the area of Magadan. It's an amazing story, isn't it? I want us to think about this story this time, however, about what we might take from it on a Vision Sunday as to what our responsibility is in living out what Paul has already described. So I want to whiz through this story very practically to think about it. Here's the first thing that I think that we need. We need to have the attitude of Jesus. In a book called Philippians, a letter that Paul wrote, he said, you need in your brain the same attitude, the same mind that Jesus has. And he said that to everyone who followed Jesus. So everyone here, if we are going to be the church that God calls us to in Jesus, we need to think like Jesus thinks. We need to have his attitude. So what is his attitude here? What is it that makes him do something? Well, he says this: I feel sorry for these people. I don't want to send them away hungry. There's a long word that we might use for this, and it is this. Jesus' attitude is one of compassion. If we are going to be a church that follows Jesus and has his mind in our minds and do this together, we are going to need to be people who look around this room and see each other and say, we want to care for each other. We do not want them to go home hungry. And more than that, we're going to look out at the road at that man walking past right now and the woman on the other side of the road and say, I feel sorry for these people. I don't want them to go home hungry. I want to give them what I have. Second thing, if we're going to do this, we begin by seeing what we have. So it's all very well. You might be sitting there, well, what can I do? And that's a very good question to start off with. At the beginning of this year, when we think about the needs that our church has to run, whether that be helping with children's work because we need lots of people to do it, or whether it be practical things, or whether it be caring for people, or whether it be praying, whatever it may be, well, what about me? What has God put inside me? Do you know in the story, how many loaves of bread did the followers have? Do you remember?
7.
Very good. 7. Look at them on the screen. Here they come. That was my favourite thing I've achieved all week. In the story, he says, what have you got? 7 loaves of bread. And then I think there's a bit of a Monty Python moment, because I imagine there's one man at the back who says, and a few small fish. Because he says, what have you got? 7 loaves and a few fish. So, this is what we have. But what do you have at the beginning of this year? What has God given you? Maybe he's given you a caring heart. Maybe he's given you something that you want to pray for. Maybe you've been a parent and you can care for children and we need people to do that. Maybe he's made you somebody who can tell a good story. Maybe that's not just for in here, but it's for out there as well. What does it mean for you in your workplace? What do you have? Think about it before you go to work tomorrow. The next thing that happens in this story is after they see what they have, they offer what they have to Jesus. They don't hold on to it. They don't say, well, actually, I've got a Mars bar in my pocket, but I haven't really got a Mars bar in my pocket. I've got nothing, honest. I've got nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing to see here. They say, look, this is what I've got. You take it. I'm going to give it to Jesus because I'm going to trust it to you. So, what have you got? And are you giving it back to Jesus? It says, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks to God for the food, and then Jesus divided the food and gave it to his followers. What did Jesus do? It's really interesting, isn't it? He takes what we give him, and he blesses it. he offers it back to God. That which you've already been given, he gives back to God, and he blesses it. And then he gives it back to you after you've given it to him. And then what happens? Then you have to give it away. That's tricky, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy to do this with what we have. This is mine. You know, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? It's a film. There's a man called Gollum. He's not really a man. He's a kind of fishy thing. And he goes about the most precious thing he says. You know what he says? He says, mine. Mine. It's mine. My precious. What if your precious you were able to hold lightly because God has given it to you so that you can share with somebody else? Because this is exactly what happens in the story. They give him fish and loaves. Jesus blesses it and it comes back. They don't eat it themselves. They give the food to the people. And do you know what happens after that? This is what happens after that. Boxing Day lunch. If my mum were here, she would say about Christmas, because she says it every year. You know, family, sometimes people, you just wait for them to say certain sentences. This is one of mum's friends. Of course, I prefer Boxing Day meal to Christmas meal. It's all the meats and the pickles and the bubble and squeak. I love bubble and squeak. Every year my mum will say that at some point, probably regularly, several times. So they have a big feast. They give out food, everybody eats, and there are 7 baskets left over because we believe that God is able to give us more than we need. Or do we? I have to say, hand on heart, I'm letting you into a secret, I'm being tested about this at the moment. I believe it. But would you pray for me that I believe that at the moment? Maybe some of you were like that too. Should we do it together? So here's my question this year. I think God calls us to play the hand that we have. What have you been dealt in your game of life? What cards are you holding? Because they will be different to other people in this room. But the thing is, we're playing this game together. And we need you to play the hand that you have. You can only play what you're given. And you have to play according to the rules of the game. And the rules of the game are that we are playing this game to glorify Jesus and to care for each other and to love our world out there. So what has God given you this year? We've already declared our faith here. In a moment, we're going to stand up and make a different statement. This isn't about what we believe. It's about saying, I'm in. Paul did a good talk, didn't he? I thought so. He sat down over there and I said, you know, Paul, I think that was excellent. I think I might come to this church. Good point. But can I tell you something as well? Here's a little secret for you. I don't just want to come to this church. I want to be this church. Say that again. That's right. We all come here to be this church, not to come to this church. We all have a mission. We all have a story to tell and a life to share. And the more honest we are with each other, the more we... The more we believe in the power of God's Spirit, the more we explore prayer this year, which is what we're going to be doing, the more we take a step of faith, even when this church... You know what? This church doesn't do everything the way I would do it. Can I tell you that? It's not my idea, all of this stuff, but we're trying to do the best for everybody. You won't like everything, but you are the church. Get involved. Get stuck in. Let's glorify God together. What do you think? 2026. What do you think? I wonder what God can do. And we're going to carry on now by singing another song. I find, you might have noticed I get emotional from time to time. I hope that's all right with you. I can't really control it if it isn't. But one of the songs that we sing that I find very difficult to sing without getting a bit emotional is this one, and particularly the last verse. And you'll see what I mean. Should we stand and sing together?